So we read Exodus chapter 33, where we've seen in the chapter that Moses came back down from the mountain, and how that the children of Israel had sinned greatly. They had built a calf, and they did not want to follow the Lord. We also seen that the Lord said to Moses, "I'll send an angel before you. He will bring you into the land of Canaan, because I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I would give them a land, which was Canaan." But the Lord says, the Lord said to Moses, "I will consume these people because they're so stiff-necked." And then Moses, we've seen this morning, but also now, just for a moment before we go to our text, we've seen that Moses began to intercede. That the tabernacle was brought outside of the camp where Israel was camped about. And we know that the tabernacle, where the Lord's presence comes for Israel, was brought out of the camp. And this teaches us that as God was deciding whether he would consume them all, that the tabernacle had to be outside of the camp. For that if Israel would be consumed, the tabernacle would not be consumed. And we see that our Lord Jesus was crucified outside of the camp. We've seen this morning. We have to pass through this quickly. But to give an idea as we're going, or a context as we're going to the text, we also seen that Moses interceded. Moses went into the temple, and also Joshua was in the temple, and how that Moses talked to God and pleaded with God for Israel, and that he went out back out to the people. And Moses is a type of the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Intercessory means between, someone between God and man. For he said here, no man will see you and live. No man can come before God and live. We will melt before him. For God is a God of vengeance. And God has to punish sin, my sin and your sin. And Jesus Christ becomes the interceder between man and God. Not for all men, but only who come to the presence of God. Who only men who are drawn into the forgiveness of God. So that's why we need repentance and forgiveness. And we cannot go but through Jesus Christ to God the Father. And this, we see that Moses was interceding for them, came back out of the tabernacle, and yet the Lord says, I will see what I will do with this people, for it's a stiff-necked people. It speaks to us today as well. And then Moses talked to God face to face, as his man speaketh to his friend in verse 11. And he turned again to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And we see there how that Joshua is also a type of Christ. And we actually see that Moses and Joshua typify Christ in two very particular ways. We'll quickly expound it even just a little more before we go on. Moses is a type of Christ in his human nature. We know Christ has two natures, divine and human nature. God the Father is his spirit. In the Trinity, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son has two natures, a human nature and a divine nature. Try to remember this, for this will come back all over Scripture. And if we don't believe it nor understand it, then we miss the gospel. Because it says, I believe in Ephesians, it says, God cannot, God is, or Jesus Christ coming in his human nature, yet having his divine nature, can feel our infirmity, knows what it is to lie under the curse of God, because he came to this earth. So Jesus Christ is from the beginning, before ever the world was created, Jesus Christ was there. His Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity was there. In spirit, Jesus Christ was there. And ere we were brought forth, Father and Son made a covenant, the covenant of grace for mankind. I hope we know this and have understood this. I hope we've searched scriptures to understand these things. So God sent forth his only begotten Son. And that's why we believe he was born of the Virgin Mary. That's precisely why we say born from the Virgin Mary. To know that he assuredly took on human nature while being divine yet. So Jesus Christ took the human nature on and remained God, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, without sin. Yet he took sin upon him, not his own, but his people's sins. Yours too? That is a question for you and for me. And so this shows his divine and his human nature. Moses, the people saw Moses. They saw Moses come out. We said this morning, this type here, this is a type where Moses went into the temple. Joshua stayed in the temple. The cloud was in front of the door. The people were all in their tent doors. We considered this morning as well how that they had put all ash, sackcloth on their head, because they took all the ornaments off. We read that when we read the chapter. They took all the ornaments off and they put, as it were, sackcloth on their head. And they came and stood in the door of their tents, because they knew God is coming. God is going to consume us for what we did and what we've done. And we hope this may have happened in your lives, or is maybe happening in your life. Because God does not come first as a God that is just a God for people when they need him. Or he's not a God that is like a soccer ball. Well, you can kick it wherever you want. God comes through his word, and when he comes through his gospel, he always comes as an avenging God. Jesus Christ is the pacifier. Jesus Christ is the interceder. But God comes with vengeance in our lives, because you and I, as we are born in sin and iniquity. Everything about us is corrupted and rebellious. And most people don't believe this. I mean, most people don't want to believe this. They hide. These people were hiding as well, because they came, they were filled with ornaments, and they looked really nice from the outside. But then God said, take that off. Take it off. Don't come before me all decked out. He says, put off thy ornaments from me, that I may know what to do unto you. Because outwardly they looked really nice as they were. It was beautiful. But they had to take them off and put sackcloth, a sign of mourning. And they mourned, it says. And it's the same thing with you and I. We look good from the outside. We can deceive so many people. So many people. We can even deceive our own. So many people deceive their own wife or their own husband, maybe their children or parents. We can look so good from the outside. But oh, if someone would know our inside, our every thought, not only our thought, our deed, our whole heart is corrupted in sin and has a sin nature, inclined to do evil. If you don't believe it, then look at your life, look around you. If you don't believe it, look at the people around you. How much are you being deceived from the people around you? whether it's lies or bribes or whatever it might be, in an outward sense, what lives in the heart? And then look at yourself. And I must look at myself. But we need an interceder. Because God comes through the gospel as a with a vengeance. He says, I will consume them. They are stiff-necked. We know stiff-necked is our neck is what turns our head. Stiff-necked means they won't turn to me. Stiff. They're only looking out for their own good, their own pleasures, their own desires, their own good. Stiff. And I call them to repentance, but they won't turn to me. That's what stiff-necked means. They wanted a calf, they got a calf. And that's why Moses comes as a sort of interceder. And he pictures the intercession for Christ. Because Christ is in his throne now. Jesus Christ sitteth on the right hand of his Father. And to do what? To make intercession for his people. That's his work right now. We have so little understanding of the work of Jesus Christ. Because he came on this earth. And he was God, is God. Alpha and the Omega. He came in nature. He says, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men to me. He was lifted up, crucified. That was all his work. That was his cross work, his Calvary work. He died for sinners. He took the punishment, the curse. He was buried, like the prophets all testified of. He was risen again by God the Father himself. He ascended unto heaven. And his work continues to this day. Not on earth anymore. His earth work is finished. He died. He was cursed. He was smitten, and he was bruised, and he was scourged, and he was thrust through the side. His hands were bore through. He took the just punishment for his elect, for his people. He said, I will do it. He said to Father, I will go. Nobody could do it because you have to have a divine nature and a human nature. That's why none can do it. That's why Peter couldn't do it. That's why angels couldn't do it. Nobody can do it. Nobody can make payment for sin than Jesus Christ alone. He made full atonement because he has a divine nature. He is one with God and took on the human nature. We have to be one would have to be without sin. Without sin, but not only that, because in essence, the angels are without sin. Not the fallen angels, they became Satan and devils. But angels are without sin. But angels don't have a divine nature. Angels are not able to bear the wrath of God because they have no divine nature. And so, Joshua is a type of the divine nature. You know how beautiful this is? You know how quickly we read over, maybe you read the word. I hope you read every morning and every night this word that's so full and so rich of prophecy and so full of Christ's glory and so rich. And we read here, Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man departed not out of the temple. Christ, two natures. Moses came before the people, and they saw Moses. And Moses went in the temple, and he was face to face with God, interceding with God. Then he went out to the people and said, and actually declared the gospel. And said, there's one way to come. Because the people were afraid. They were in their tent doors. There's all rows of tents in the and because they were in the wilderness. They did not have homes. And they were all in the tent. And when they saw Moses go to the temple, they fell to their knees and began to worship. Will God have mercy? Or will he consume us? That was their fear. And they had a fear because they knew why God was going to consume them. Because they had built a calf and said, we don't want you that God. We want our own gods of gold. You see? So they were afraid and scared. Will God have mercy? We don't dare to approach. We can't go there. Moses went in. And now Moses comes out, and Moses says to them, I've talked face to face with God. And God is going, God said to you that he's deciding what he's going to do with you, that I may know what to do with you. And Moses comes out and said, I've talked face to face. There's a way back to God. There's a way back to God. And Joshua stays in. You know how that is? You know, we have to move on, but this is the gospel. The full, complete gospel. Because Joshua stays there, and Moses directs them, or in this narrative, Moses directs them back in there. Moses shows them that Joshua has favor with God. And I've talked to God, says Moses, face to face. And the only way is in the divine nature of Jesus Christ. Now, what do you mean? Well, just look at today. Because if this gospel was declared to them, then surely this same gospel is for us today. How do we interpret it? How do we see it? It's exactly the same. Jesus Christ, in his intercessory work, is there in heaven above. He sees you, knows you, watches you. But that's not all. He's interceding for sinners. What sinners? All the world? No. No, that's a lie. People will lie about that today. Christ is not interceding for the world. Who is he interceding then for? He's interceding for those who come and approach him. That's why, without repentance, without calling upon God, you won't know him. They were all in their tents. And Moses was teaching them, he is approachable, but only, Moses says, only through me and only through Joshua. Joshua was able to withstand, to be in the temple, and the other ones were afraid. And he's saying the exact same thing to do. Today, Jesus Christ says, I'm approachable. You can come to me in confession and repentance and look to me by faith. Moses was saying, come. He had talked to the Lord, and then he turned back out to the people and said, there's a way. He explained the gospel because they were afraid. And now the Lord Jesus is saying exactly the same thing. He's saying, I am approachable, but you won't find me on earth. See, we are declaring the gospel, and we're saying Jesus Christ is the life, the way, the truth, and the life. And those who preach the word, the true word of God, send those who are hearing to Christ. I have no power, I have nothing. I only have to declare the gospel to you and send you to Christ. But he's not on earth. He's nowhere here. What is it going to take then? Because so many people say, Lord, where are you? Where are you in my life? Where are you? I can't find you. And he says, I am in the tabernacle. And I'm not leaving. I'm not going out. That's where my glory is. See, the tabernacle, God did not live in there because you can't contain God. But he showed forth his glory in the temple. He was willing to come in the temple and show forth his glory. He was approachable in the temple, although no temple could contain, nothing, the whole earth can't contain him. And now the gospel is coming the same way to us. He's saying, go back. Now, we must move on. Now, we want to come to the 14th verse of Exodus 33. And that we want to center our discourse upon the 14th verse of chapter 33, where it says, "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." My presence will go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So after that Moses had interceded for the people, and after that Moses had called out to God, that without him, without his presence coming with them, there would be no point. And he found grace in the sight of God. Didn't Jesus Christ find grace in the sight of God? When Jesus Christ presented his bride to his father and said, "Father, here is my bride," does not the Father say, "I find grace in my Son"? Nobody can come unto the Father but through me, he says. Only through me. Nobody can know who the Father is but through me, Jesus Christ declared of his own. And he says, "And my sheep hear my voice, and my sheep follow me." And so Moses, in this interceding, goes further and says, this people, you know who this people represents? Those amongst them whom the Lord is going to bring into Canaan represents the bride, represents his people, his bride, his chosen ones, his elect, his beloved bride, which from all tongues and nations shall be one. And he says, where can't we go? Moses says, now listen carefully, because this is so remarkable. Moses says, we can't come before your presence. We can't come to heaven. We can't be in your glory. We can't come in your presence. We have no way there. And that's what Jesus Christ, as it were, Jesus Christ says, says, "Father," listen, "Father," he's pleading with his Father, Jesus Christ. Do you hear it? "Father, I will, in his prayer, in the Gospel of John, "Father, I will that where you are, where I am, that they be too." His people. He was praying for his disciples. "Father, I will that where we are, they may come." You see? So Jesus Christ is not saying, "Oh, I know that they're coming. And I know that I already know thy will." No. He's interceding for his people. "Father, I will that where I go, they come too." And Father grants it to him. Because that's the whole point of salvation. What's the whole point? What does it come down to? Well, to escape judgment? To go to heaven? No. That's not what we're seeking. That's not what you're seeking, is it? To go to heaven? No, it goes deeper than that. What are we seeking? We're seeking to be with him. And that is heaven. We're seeking to come to him, to embrace him, to see him as he is, to be with him, to be near to him. Like one who loves, two who love each other very dearly, maybe hear each other on the phone or may hear of each other. But the point is so maybe it's for in Malawi, maybe this is a little harder to understand. But maybe if there's true love in a relationship, deep love, I'll give you an example. The first time I came to Malawi here, I had to leave my family for 10 days. And I came here, and I came to Malawi, and my wife and my children were in Canada. And each day that passed by, I longed more and more to see my family again. And it was COVID time, and there was a sort of fear at that time. Would I even be able to get back? My heart was beating. I thought, if I couldn't come back, I can't go more than 10 days without my family. And I was almost anxious, right? But what was I seeking? What was I seeking? To be back in my house? To be back on my property or back in Canada? No. It happens to be that's where they live. And we have a home there. But I am seeking to be united with my family again. That's what it's about. It doesn't matter what home we have. All through Canada. That's not what I'm looking. That's not what I'm longing after. I'm longing after the lively embracing of my wife and children. You see, that's exactly what it is to be, to have, the desire to be in heaven. Father, I will that where I am, they may be. And the Father grants this because it's the petition of Jesus Christ and it's the intercessory work. And now that's the same thing that's happening. Today, his intercessory work is continuing. Yay, people have come today around this world. How many? We don't know. Maybe one today in the whole world came to him by a prayer, asking for mercy, asking the Lord for mercy. And they come to the Lord Jesus in prayer, but not here on earth, not to a temple, as the Roman Catholics believe, and not to a priest. Not confessing to a priest has no value, no merit, but confessing from heart and being lifted up in spirit to God. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, deliver me, forgive me, and grant and give me grace in thy sight. And Jesus Christ draws you nearer and nearer. That is when you come in prayer to him with a true heart. He's drawing with cords of love through the gospel preaching. And then what? What happens? Does he say, son or daughter, mother or father, yes, I grant your request? No, what happens? We don't see this, nor do we realize, maybe. But what happens is he says, Father, this sinner, will you accept the sinner in my stead? See the holes in my hands. See, I have died for this sinner too. Father, accept this sinner. Father says, I accept him in your name. I don't accept him for any other reason. Not for anything good he or she or has done. But son, I accept him in your name. And the Holy Spirit brings it into the heart of the sinner. Forgiven. Sins taken away. Sins gone. Delivered. Peace. Rest. And now Jesus Christ goes out now further. That's where we want to go, although we're having a hard time getting there. Because now Moses goes a step further. See, Moses talked face to face. And Moses received the promise from the Lord, not only the promise, but the assurance that he knows him by name, and I found grace in your sight. But now Moses has another sort of trial, or brings us further and deeper into the gospel promises. For he says in verse 13, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee and that I may find grace in thy sight. Because if you've been forgiven, if you've been at the throne by faith and Jesus Christ has forgiven you, that's not enough. I mean, it's enough to come to heaven. Justification, if you are justified, if faith receives Jesus Christ, is it? That's enough. You can die like the old, like the murderer on the cross. But Moses says, but I want to know you. Because if Jesus Christ has forgiven you all of your sins, and if Jesus Christ has drawn the gospel, drawn you through into the gospel net, now you want to know him. You want to know everything of him. Now, because he says here, that I may know thee and that I may find grace in thy sight. I want to walk. I want to follow you. You too? Following Christ? However, there's such a big discovery here. A really big discovery. I want you to remember this. I want you to take this with you. This discovery is going to be recognized, maybe in your life. When he says here, I have found grace in thy sight. Show me now thy way. Show me now thy way. So he's making another petition. Show me now thy way. If I have found grace in your sight, show me now thy way. You know what he's not saying here? And do you know what most Christians today are saying? Pay attention. Most Christians are saying, show me the way. Big, big difference. But Moses is saying here, show me now thy way. The way, thy way. It is an eternity of difference here, what Moses is saying. Listen, many people, especially nowadays, Christians nowadays, whether they are convicted Christians or really, truly, because the name Christian is everywhere. But those whom Christ has forgiven and are living testimony of Christ dwelling within us are asking God, Lord, show me the way. Show me the way. Show me the way. In my life, in my family, where I live, this problem, this difficulty, this challenge, show me the way, I don't understand. And so many people are shipwrecking in faith. Faith is being shipwrecked. Why? because they're asking, show me the way, instead of show me thy way. What do I mean? Let's go a little further. He says, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. And then the Lord answers. So Moses is saying, show me thy way. And the Lord answers. And he says, in verse 14, and he said, so this is the answer to the intercessory prayer of Moses. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence will go with thee, and I will give you... That's God's way! That's the way! That's exactly the way of Jesus Christ, is rest and his presence to go with. And if his presence is in you, you have rest. Not only... Because we know that is the whole... What was the promise to the disciples, to the apostles? I will pour out my spirit. I will give you my spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy and such and such. I will give them a new heart. I will make their stony heart flesh. And I will dwell in them. That's the new tabernacle. We don't have a tabernacle today. Neither do we have a temple today. Yes, many religions do. And they call the Vatican in Rome the holy place. And the Pope, all of these silly things. All far away from Christ. Blasphemy. But he says, I will dwell in you. I will come with my Holy Spirit and I will be in you. That's why in baptism, we know in baptism that you rise up and in newness of life, and the Holy Spirit dwells in. Don't know if we can recognize this today, but he says, my presence shall go with thee. What does that mean? Oh, what a glorious, glorious gospel. This is the word of God, that this intercessory prayer of Jesus Christ, even today, that we have this promise that the Holy Spirit, and which is the presence of the Lord, will go with you wherever you go. And where are you going? Where is a child of God going? Where are we heading to? If you know that your sins are forgiven, where are you going to? Where's your journey? I hear so many people that say, I think it's something in culture here in Malawi. If you're walking somewhere, then in Malawi they say, where are you going? It's something maybe in the culture, right? And I have to think about that often. I have to think, where am I going? Yeah, where am I going? I'm going to eternal glory. That's where I'm headed to. And every day here on earth is a day closer to be with my Savior, Jesus Christ, and to see Him face to face. And oh, that I may recognize that His presence is with me, because I have one destination, and that is to be with Him. That's one destination moving forward. I press to the mark. Not looking back, but moving forward of the high calling. And he said, and Moses said, what is thy way? What he says, show me now thy way. Show me thy way. How is it that man, fallen sinful man, these people, how is it that we can get into Canaan? Show me thy way. This is mystery. I don't, maybe you say, I don't understand. How can we get to heaven? You know what we're busy with? Lord, why is it that my life is so messy? Why is it that my life is such a chaos? What's the way? I need a new job because my job is not supporting my family. Lord, how do we get a house? How do I have enough money to build a house? I need a new car. I need this. I need that. And we think, Lord's not in it. So much poverty, so much difficulty, struggles. And we hear this all the time. Now we say, is this really the way of the Lord? Maybe a child passes away, or a husband or a wife, or things affect your life so grievous. Maybe you're crying in your heart of the chaos in your life. And we're praying, Lord, what's the way? What's the way? And the Lord's not in it. He's not there. Why? Because there is no comfort in this life. We won't find it in this life. We won't find satisfaction in this life. I promise you, the word tells us, nothing will satisfy. Recognize it in your life. If you get one thing, you want more. Those who have been able to make it to become a millionaire want 2 million. Those who have been able to make it to 2 million want 4 million. It's never satisfying. If you have a car and you're able to get a car, you want the next thing higher than that. Maybe a pickup truck or something nicer. Get a house, I want something that's fleshly. If you are called by God, if Christ dwelleth in you, thy way is His presence. Will go with us until our last breath. And I will dwell in you. And I will comfort you. And I will console you. I will help you. I will encourage you. I will blossom out the promises in my word. I will never leave nor forsake you. But I will lead you to glory. Because I want you where I am, Father. I will that they be where we are. I don't want them to be longer than they have to be in this mess that they've gotten themselves into. Father, I will that we be one together. Father, keep them, he prays. Keep them. And the Father grants this. That's his intercessory prayer for his people today. He's praying for his people. Father, draw them ever nearer to me. Draw them closer. And he sees his bride here on earth. And you know what he sees? You know what he so much sees with his bride? A bride that's kicking and screaming and complaining and yelling and not satisfied and wants and doesn't understand God, and that's because we don't understand God's way. God's way is to draw to himself, to draw his bride. And that's why this is a mystery. I hope you will remember this. I hope you will take this with you. The more calamity, the more struggle in your life, the more God is trying, is the more God is saying, enough. There's some that go through this life with so many trials because they are trying to fasten their pins on this earth. Trying to become something or someone on this earth. Trying to get earthly gain and don't understand. Can you hear God's glorious, rich, and full answer here? Moses, he says, my way is that I will go with you, sinner to saint. I will accompany you to the pearly gates, and you will find rest in me. I will walk beside you, not literally. Jesus Christ does not come to this earth and take you by the hand. But we see by faith. The Spirit is alive with the Spirit of Christ. For the Spirit of Christ, that's the Holy Spirit, one with in the Trinity, is continuously taking the promises of the interceding work of Christ and applying them in the heart of his saints. What does this mean? What does this mean? Well, Christ is on his throne and he hears his bride, his children, in maybe an anguish or difficult, whatever it might be. He's interceding. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Father, there's so much trouble. I will that he or she is comforted in my gospel, in me. And then the Holy Spirit sees and hears the Lord Jesus speaking, interceding for his people. That's why it says, what does it say? For the Father, for it goes to the Father, that we groan in spirit on this earth. And cry what? Abba, Father. We cry, groaning in the spirit, crying, Abba, Father. And Lord Jesus says, Father, I will. That the promises that I've given, that you have given, become active in your soul. And you know who does that? The willingness, which is equally willing with the Father and the Son, the willingness of the Holy Spirit. How? How does that happen? Because the Holy Spirit always applies the promises of Scripture. He doesn't make new promises because they're all yea and amen in themselves. All the promises of the Word are for his children. And you open the Word and you read the scripture. And in your current struggle, you cry, Abba, Father, whatever it may be that you're in, if your presence be with me, comfort me. And you read in his word. You read all of the promises. You read, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Come unto me, and I'll give you rest. That's God's way. God's way is to lead to the celestial city, to the pearly gates where you may go in forever if Christ dwells in you. Otherwise, your life stays a chaos, chaotic, full of chaos, full of malice, full of lies, full of deceit, deceiving one another, full of witchcraft, full of idolatry. Oh, that you might recognize this today. It's either the Antichrist or it's the Heavenly Christ. What do you seek? For Moses does not stop as he's gone in, interceding for the people, and the gospel's gone out, and he brings the gospel to all the people. Look to Joshua, he will bring you into the land of Canaan. By faith, they couldn't see him literally. It's a picture. They couldn't. He stayed in the temple, and he says, and that is the divine nature, where God is, where I am, where Joshua is, where his presence is. And now the gospel is saying the same thing. Look heavenward, where the greater Joshua is. He said, I can't see him. That's because you don't have faith. That's because you lack faith. Because they couldn't see Joshua either. But faith pierces through the heaven above and sees Jesus Christ seated on the right hand of the Father making intercession. And faith receives him. And Moses, so now that he has gained favor, now he says, but Lord, you will consume these people, even me, for I am a sinner. But I found grace in thy sight. Jesus Christ says, Father, Father, you have right to consume all the people on earth because of your righteousness. Father, you have full right, but Father, I will go and I will be the payment for all those who come to me by faith. And Father says, I will accept it. I will accept that payment. Either I will accept their death or your death. You see, you hear it? You hear the gospel? Either they must die or you must die. Son, are you willing to die for them? Yes, says the son. Are you willing to suffer? Yes. You see, one of the two payments will be accepted by God. Either if faith is not present, if you have not gone to Jesus Christ and received a ransom, received into his ransom, his atonement, atoned for you personally, then you stand all alone when you come before God and you have no Christ as your interceder, no atonement, no blood. God will say, go away from me, be gone into eternal death. But oh, if you have the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed and cleansed you in your soul, if Jesus Christ has become your atonement, if you've come by faith to Jesus Christ, then he is altogether yours. Oh, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. You marry the Savior. Marry to become one. You become one with Christ by faith. But it doesn't stop there. Moses didn't stop here. He received the intercession for the people. But then the next thing was, Moses says, But I don't want to go further. Oh, do you recognize that? If you are here this afternoon and you receive the atonement from Jesus Christ, the next thing you have said, But Lord, I can't stand up. I can't go another step forward without you. You've forgiven me all my sins, but I can't go on without you. You're my life. You're my all in all. I can't take one step without you. Where would I go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus said, will you go too? Master, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have nowhere to go. And he says, follow me, and I will lead you to glory. Not, I will help you in your labors here below. I'll give you the strength you need. I'll help you through till you die. No. That's not his glory. That's not his kingdom. He says, no, I will lead you. I'll lift you out of this wilderness, and I will draw you to me. I will be with you. And Moses says, I can't go on. I can't take a step further. If you don't go with me, you interceded for the people. We found grace in your sight. I found grace in your sight, says Moses. That's saying Jesus found grace in God's. Not, we didn't find grace in the Father's sight. Jesus did for us. That's the inheritance. Oh, I hope it's coming to your soul today. Because so many people said, I made a choice for Jesus. And it's not true. God chose you. If he chose you, then you were drawn irresistibly to him. I did this and I did that. No, Christ did it. And you have not to do anything. Nothing at all. Because if Christ has done all, then nothing has to be done by us. By the sinner. But if you have done anything, then Christ has done nothing for you. We don't do the choosing. We don't do the changing. The Spirit dwells in us. When we come before him, humbly, in repentance, and receive the gift of grace through the power of the Holy Spirit, revealing the love of Jesus Christ into our hearts. And Jesus becomes all in all. Give me Jesus or I die. And Jesus comes and embraces and says, sinner, I've paid for you. And now what? Now what? So now what? The sinner says to Jesus, don't let me go. Don't let me go. Look at my life. Look what it was. Don't let me go. If you've loved me to death, hold on to me. I can't go without your presence, whatever I do. I can't go a day into the world without your presence. I need all of your promises, all of your inheritance, and I need that in my heart. And Jesus says, I'm leading you to glory, and my presence will go with you. Oh, you know how many people, when receiving, if the Lord comes to sinners, sometimes he comes very powerfully. I know this is different with everyone. So we shouldn't say the same way for everyone. But when the Lord Jesus Christ revealed his love in my heart, I didn't want to live any longer. My heart was overflowing with the love of Christ. It was about to burst because of the love of Christ in my heart. And I said, why would I go? Why should I have to go one more day on this sin-sunk earth? But God has other plans. Why? To glorify him. He says, no, I will not take you there yet, but my presence will go with you from today forward. From today on, you are on a journey on the narrow way. You know, the broad way and the narrow way. The broad way to total destruction, the narrow way to heaven. And he said, I will go with my presence. I will not leave you nor forsake. I will go with you. But to recognize what Moses says, thy way, not the way, but thy way. How do you go? Who are you? Saul said, who art thou, Lord? He said, who art thou, Lord? He was struck down and light shone from above. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Lord, who are you? Show, you know what he says here later on? We can't spend time. You know what he says in verse 18? He says, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Oh, this is such a rich and full and it's uncontainable, the richness and glory of this gospel that is being declared in this chapter. He's saying, then show me thy glory. You know what he didn't say? You know what he was not looking for here? You know what he didn't say? What so many people say today? Then prove it to me. Prove it to me. Prove to me you're the Savior. I don't know if I believe it. Prove it. Show me. Show me a miracle. Show me a sign, they said. What sign dost thou show that thou art the Son of God? Show me. Prove yourself. That's not the work of the Spirit, is it? But he says, show me thy glory. If I see just a little into thy glory, if we see in his full glory, our body couldn't take that. Our body would melt. That's how great his glory is. But he's saying, show me thy glory. Show me some of thy glory. Because then when I see thy glory, I see thy way. How is it the same today? Walking on the path through this wilderness to eternal glory. What is it when you're come? Maybe you recognize it. Oh, the Lord has such a word today, and he knows who it's for. What is recognized on the way to glory? When are we comforted? When are we rejoicing? When are we resting? When are we satisfied? When we see his glory. And his glory is yea and amen in himself. That's why the word becomes so precious. Because when we read about his glory, the Holy Spirit opens his glory in our heart. And we witness a little of his glory. And we're walking along through trials and temptation. And our heart sings the melody of Christ. Oh, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. He takes a poor, vile sinner into his house of wine. I stand upon his merits. I don't know any other stand. Not even where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Because the glory, full glory, is in Emmanuel's land, is in heaven. And he shines a little of his glory into the soul and makes it burst into liveliness. Just a little of his glory from heaven shines into the soul, and it bursts, it overflows with it, with just a ray of his glory in the soul. And he says, this is my answer. So how must I go forward? How shall I walk? How shall I finish this course on earth? Thou hast overwhelmed me with thy love. Thou hast forgiven all my sins. Oh, I hope this has happened with you. I hope you may know the time where your sins are truly forgiven. And you must say, but now my sins are forgiven. Thy presence is it, my heart has been broken. I have a new heart. Maybe being baptized and standing and showing the outward sign of in the newness of life. But you say, but now I stand still. I can't go further, Lord. I could always go further. Before thou broke my heart, I could do whatever I wanted. I didn't think you saw me. I thought you were ignorant of me. I did the most vilest things. I sinned against thee. I built me calves and danced around them. Lord, now that you have overwhelmed me, now that you have forgiven me, I can't go back, but I also can't go forward. Lord, show me thy way. Show me thy way, how to go forward. Show me how to go forward toward Canaan, the land flowing with milk and honey. You see, it's all coming back. He promised a land flowing with... That is the heavenly glory. That land flowing with milk and honey. Canaan, the heavenly Canaan. It's all outward here to show us the spiritual. So he's saying, but how do I get to Canaan? How am I going to get to Canaan? The milk, the promised land, the promised full rest, the promised land flowing with milk and honey, the celestial city. I can't take one step without thee. Show me thy way. Show me thy glory. And the Lord is so, comes with such power here. This is the promise. This is the promise for all of his children. My presence shall go with you. Can you get any closer? Do you want it any different way? My presence will go with you. I will take you. I will be there with you. I will be in you. And I will draw you. I will coax you further through this life. Through this life of sorrow, through this life of disappointment, through this life of challenge and sin and wickedness and rebellion and evil, I will be with you. I will. My presence will be with you. That's your sign. Oh, if they said, show us a sign that you're the Son of God. And he said, I will give you no other sign but the sign of Jonah the prophet. As he was 3 days in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the belly of the earth. That's the sign he gave him. But a soul who's been made alive says, the Lord says, my sign is, I will be with you. Don't ask further questions. Don't ask the way. I will be with you morning, evening, daytime and nighttime. I will be with you. Oh, what a glorious gospel this is. If you, my friends, if you still remain outside, if you don't recognize this glory, then today he's coming with his voice to you. For the gospel is coming to you. Wait no longer. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but be saved. Fall before him. If your conscience is testifying, if your heart is testifying to you, and the gospel, the Holy Spirit, oh, what a glory. What a joy, what an unspeakable joy that my words, what I bring to you today will not be your salvation, but the Holy Spirit will take this and work this in your heart. And today, not tomorrow, but those who come to him with a repentant heart, a heart of repenting, and come to him honest, as they are, as you are, a sinner. A rebellious sinner. Here I am, Lord. Oh, and it's the love of and the forgiveness of sin. Confessing our sins. You don't need to confess them to a priest. You don't need to confess them to a man of God. No, no. You don't need to confess them to a pastor. No, no. No, no. Away with that silliness. Go into an inner chamber. Maybe in wherever it may be. Wherever, even here, God saves people under the preaching of the gospel. Oh, receive the gift of grace, the love of Christ to fill your heart, to take your sins upon Calvary by faith. Yeah, without the camp. Delay not, but seek God while he may be found before it's too late. If you have not found him, seek him today. Seek him today, and he will reveal for he may be drawing you with cords of love. And then you will say with the Queen of Sheba, the man who is speaking about this gospel didn't tell me half of the riches of the greater Solomon, Jesus Christ. Amen.